Praise the Lord. There's multiple problems in the area last night, and everybody made it home safe, is what I'm hearing, so that's good as well. And got a lot going on, and got a lot of folks we just need to be very much in prayer for. But just a few announcements this morning. If y'all would, just to continue to remember Danny Roten's family with Danny passing. We don't have any of the details as of yet, but as soon as we do, we'll get them out to everyone. But just remember Miss Nancy and Miss Sherry and the family in your prayers. Also, too, glad to see Brother Wayne back from his visit to Charlottesville. I'm not a fan of Charlottesville, being a former resident of Blacksburg, but I understand you have to go where you got to go, brother. So,
I like how you call it a visit.
yeah, he's got a visit. Yeah, that's right. Working on your residency.
Yeah.
That's right. And then also, too, just a few other things. Those of you that plan on bringing the shoe boxes for the ministry, you can for next week for Mother's Day, just as you bring them, you can place them up here at the altar so we can have prayer over them for next week as well. And then also, too, the 12th and 13th, the church directory portraits will be taken. So you can dye one a few days before your picture's taken if you feel the need to. That's what I've been trying to do. So I'd like to button this shirt one time. Once, anyway, to get a picture taken. But if you're not signed up, make sure you get that done, and so we can get everybody in our directory. And it's amazing when you go to do announcements, there's 15 people talk to you about 3 minutes before you get up here. So just bear with me here. I'm going through all my notes here. And then also, too, immediately following for the work group that's going to be helping, there'll be a meeting in the fellowship hall immediately after service. So if you're going to be helping with that work group as well, please do that. And then Vacation Bible School t-shirts, if you've purchased one, you need to pay for it. So if you could see Miss Andrea, she'll be glad to take your money and help you get that paid for and get that transaction finalized. But if you looked on our bulletin this morning, every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. So we're all kind of out in the country here a little bit, so we're familiar with fruit trees, and we're familiar with growing a garden and that kind of thing. But as a horticulturalist, if you want the most productive tomatoes you can grow, you have to prune them. You have to put them up. And that's what the Lord has to do in our lives to get us to be the most productive for what we need to be doing in his will and in his way. And it's difficult sometimes because I don't know if you ever noticed, if you've ever pruned an apple tree or pruned a tomato plant, you hear this click. And there's a wound that's actually created there. But from that wound comes more fruit and new growth. So when we're getting that, hearing that click in our lives, it hurts. It does. It hurts right there. But if we're where the Lord wants us to be, and if we're trying to read his word daily, pray and spend time with him, we're going to see more fruit. And the Lord wants to see more fruit in our lives. He wants to reward us more. So be very much in prayer this morning as Brian comes to, that we focus on what the Lord wants us to hear this morning so we can have that fruit in our lives. So with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then just ask him to bless the service this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can be here and we can celebrate who you are, Lord. And we're just here to worship you this morning. We're here to do nothing else but to worship you. And I just ask, Lord, that you help us to focus to do that. We're so thankful again, Lord, that with the problems going on in the area last night, that no one was hurt, Lord. We just thank you for your protection on that. We thank you, though, also, Lord, for those in emergency services and law enforcement that are out helping protect. We just ask your blessing on them as well. And we ask this morning, Lord, as we open our hearts to sing praises unto you, Lord, that you would just fill us full this morning, that you would fill us that we can spill over a little bit as we go out through this week to others, Lord, that they can see the joy that you provide to us, Lord, when we come to hear you, your word preached, Lord, and we come to worship you with all of our hearts. And in Jesus' name and for his sake we do pray. Amen.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I'm yours, I'm yours. Who am I that the eyes will see my sin, will look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am yours. Never because of who I am, because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? 'Cause I am yours, I am
thank you, Miss Virginia, for signing that for us. It's beautiful. If you all want to take a hymnal and join us as we continue to give praise to our Savior Jesus, if you want to turn to page 406 as we stand and sing The Solid Rock.
Jesus Christ and righteousness.
Dare not trust the sweetest thing,
only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide its face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, love is blood, to port me in a whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, to stand His righteousness alone, faultless to stand the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. Good morning. Our next song, Waymaker. We have several Bible verses that we have referenced it to. The first one, Psalm 77, verse 14. You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the people.
That was my memory verse this morning. And then 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Jesus. And so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God.
As Jesus is our light of darkness.
It's John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have a light of life.
Isaiah 43:15-16. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters.
Our God, Elohim, has always been our waymaker. He created the universe from nothing, and our God is still able to create good and beautiful things where there are none. This is Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise king.
keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. Worship you. Everybody's singing. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Team, and it's always neat how the Lord lines things up. From Sunday school to the message that I've prepared this morning, it's just been about, and this week, about who Jesus is. and who He is to us, and how does that affect our lives? How does that impact our lives? So this morning, and as you can tell, it's Old Gray Day, and plus we've lost a loved one. You know, as we think of Brother Danny and how thankful we are that God allowed him into our lives and into our church's life, is still, and knowing that he's graduated and received his heavenly kingdom, and he's to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord, that still doesn't make it any more less painful. And I ask you today to continue to remember Sister Nancy, Sister Sherry, Miss Brittany, and the Brother Leonard, and all that's going on there, and lift them up. And as soon as we find out some more information on the details of celebrating his homegoing, we'll let you know. But I want to ask you this today. A couple of Wednesday nights, as you turn over to the book of Luke, chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, on Wednesday night, we talked about being a positive in a negative world. Y'all remember that? Being a positive in a negative world. And one of the ways that we have to change our own expectations is that we've got to start believing that our God is going to come through. You know that? We've got to believe. And the world does everything it can, as you're turning to the book of Luke, chapter 10, it does everything it can to rob us of that truth. That we begin to question it. We begin to question whether or not God's going to come through. But He's promised us that He's going to come through. It may not be the way that we expect Him to come through, but He's never lied. He cannot lie. And so He says, I'm going to take what you think and the devil thinks is for your harm, and I'm going to use it for my glory and ultimately your good. Amen? No matter what the situation is, no matter what you're feeling, your God, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He's promised that He's going to come through. Amen? If you believe it, say amen. All right. See, that's not that enthusiastical amen that you know. But praise God, whether you feel it or not, that's the promise that He's made to you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I'm going to take you to my home, and you're going to spend eternity with me. Amen? Isn't that good? So as you turn to the book of Luke, what we're going to talk about this morning is, what must I do to be saved? Or a sermon on salvation. What must I do to be saved, or a sermon on salvation? If you're watching by Facebook or if you're listening by the radio this morning, again, it will be in Luke 10. But we're thankful you're with us. We pray that you've been blessed already and that you continue to be blessed as the Word of God is presented. And if you don't remember anything else about this service today, remember that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him, He'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. And we are thankful that the Lord heard our prayers and kept all the prom goers safe. We about had one hit us last night. I didn't know when I was praying that God keep them safe, that I was asking Him to keep me safe as well. But we're thankful for that. Do we have any words of praise or testimony this morning before we get into our sermon? Anyone? Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister. There's a message in it. Anyone else? Amen. 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 Yeah, we don't know the way things are looking, the way things is changing, you know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good showing. Put on a good showing, huh? Thank you, Brother Kent. Anyone else? All right, I'm going to stand with me, if you would, in honor of God's Word. These are, matter of fact, we're going to read out of the book of Luke, and then in a few seconds we'll read out of the book of Acts, chapter 17. But let's look in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, saying, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, What is written in the law? how readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast answered right. Do this and thou shalt live. But notice what he does in verse 29. The lawyer, willing to justify himself, asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer as we talk about salvation in our sermon. You may be seated as well. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I do thank you for this day. And God, the first thing I do is just ask you to forgive me of my sins and my failures, my weakness, my faults. Heavenly Father, Lord, because in and of myself, I know that I'm a sinner. But Heavenly Father, Lord, I plead the blood of your Son, and I'm thankful that you've promised that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, I invite you into this place and that you'll make much of Jesus today. That's what we are told you do. God, that you'll allow us to see him high and lifted up and in a way that we've maybe never seen him before. God, if there be those here today that are lost, if they be listening over the radio, if what Facebook, Lord, maybe backslidden, drifted away. But Heavenly Father, Lord, whatever the need is, I know that the Bible teaches us that Jesus is more than enough. God, we do lift up Sister Sherry and Sister Nancy and Mr. Leonard and Brittany this morning, God. And there's many, many more multiplied over our country today that's dealing with the same loss. But God, your peace cannot be described, cannot be declared, but it can be felt. And so, Lord, I pray your presence be on them. But right now, Lord, let our hearts and mind focus on you, well, your word, and what you'd have to do. Again, forgive me of my sins and my failures. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you remember this passage, what happens here immediately after this is where Jesus goes into telling the parable of the Good Samaritan. And basically the idea here is that this man comes up to him and asks a question that is a very familiar question. The question is what must I do to live on after this life? How do I get to a place where I don't die? I don't want my life to end. There's something inside of me that is driving me to that there is an ability or there is a place where we can live on even after this realm. And the truth is I believe that most people, 90% of people, 99 maybe, have to, even if they're an atheist, have something in them, at least a desire to live on after this life. And what Jesus says is, hey, just do, love your God, love your Creator, and love your neighbor as yourself. But we see something that's innate in us as fallen human beings that we want to justify ourselves. We want to make ourselves right. We want to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and don't want to have to depend on any charity. We don't want to have to depend on anyone else. So again, as we talk about the message this morning, or the center thought of our message, and that is, where does salvation lie? Or what must we do to inherit eternal life? There's the title, What Must I Do to Be Saved, comes over from Acts chapter 16. Another familiar passage of Scripture. And Paul and Silas are in Philippi. And they're there and they're teaching about Jesus and people are getting saved. And if you remember, they were a worshiper of a false goddess. And it got to where they began to burn up their idols there, I believe it was. And they took Paul and Silas and threw them into prison. But then on an impromptu worship service around midnight, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 27, when the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, do not harm yourself, for we're all here. And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in. Trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved in your household. And they spake the word of the Lord unto him and all who were in the house. And the Bible tells us that the entire household came to a relationship with Jesus Christ. But this question is not only a question that we see presented many times in the Bible. It's not just a question that religious folks ask, but it's something that we all ask at some point or time. As I've been with Brother Danny the past few weeks and was able to sit with him, I have to say that he was the most prepared that I've ever seen to cross over. Now, I'm not saying he liked it. I'm not saying he understood it, but I'm saying he was ready. There was a faith in his heart that he knew that beyond this realm, that there was another place for him. And today, do you know that? Are you certain about that? Because I was reading this week as I was thinking about death and thinking about the situation. I looked up the idea of what do Americans believe about salvation. And I found, or about eternal life. And I found a Pew Research Center survey from 2007, 2008. And this is how it started. It said, or the title, many Americans say other faiths can lead to eternal life. Overall, this was a survey taken between July the 31st and August the 10th of 2007. And it interviewed about 2,900 people. And they did it 18 or older. And it was done by phone or either by in person. And they were trying to answer two questions. The first one was, who can go to heaven? Who can have eternal life? And the second one was, how does one obtain heaven? How does one obtain eternal life? And so they asked basically four questions. And I'm going to give you the answers to these questions. First one, what religions lead to eternal life? What religions lead to eternal life? Can Catholicism, 73% answered yes. 14, no. 13, unsure. That don't add up, do it? It was 73, yes, I know. Protestant, that's us. 73 believed that yes, it can lead. Judaism, 69% believe that Judaism can lead you to heaven. Islam, 53% believe that it can lead you to eternal life. Hinduism, 52% believed that it could lead you to eternal life. Atheism, 42% believe that that atheism would lead you to eternal life. And then, how about no religion, no faith? 56% believe that it could lead you to eternal life. So then they asked this question, how many non-Christian religions, meaning anything other than Jesus, how many of those religions, now think, this is 15 years ago, okay? How many religions can lead you to eternal life? 20% said none, no other, only Jesus. Another one, can one other religion lead you to eternal life? 19%. How about two other religions? 12%. How about three other religions? 21%. How about four or more other religions, can they lead you to eternal life? 28%. 28%. Meaning that 65% of Americans in 2007, 2008 believed that there were multiple ways for salvation. Multiple ways for salvation. How about what determines who inherits eternal life? What determines if you go to heaven? Actions. Good person, morality, treating others kindly, living by the Ten Commandments, 29%. That if you live the right way, then you'll get eternal life. How about faith? Faith relationship with Jesus Christ, believing in a higher power, your own truth, believing in it, 30%. No, 17% believed that faith in Jesus Christ was the way. A combination of actions and faith, 10%. Other, there is no eternal life, they just don't know, 8%. Of those, this is the last one, of those believing only one way to eternal life, 29% believe theirs was the only way. 29%. Of evangelical Protestants surveyed, that would be us. That would be us that believe in sharing the gospel. That's the mandate. That's our duty. 47% said ours is the only way. Compared to mainline Protestant. Mainline Protestant, where only 13% believed that Jesus Christ was the only way. Of Catholics, 10% believed theirs was the only way. Meaning that 90% believe that there was other ways. So if the survey is accurate, and it's a picture of America back in 2007, 2008, who can go to heaven? 65% say that anyone practicing one of four or five religions, even atheism. How does one obtain eternal life? There's many ways. 65%. There's many ways for you to inherit eternal life. How can we be so small-minded to believe that there's only one way? With only 17% of Americans saying that faith, a relationship with Jesus Christ, is the only way to be saved. Now, what am I supposed to take away from that? This is what I take away from it. Thank God we ain't further gone than we are already as a country. If that's what was going on 15 years ago, no wonder we're where we're at now. When not even half of those that profess to be believers in Christ can stand up and say, Jesus and Jesus only. And let me tell you, I'm not foolish enough to think that everybody in here believes it. Because, did you hear that? The Protestants, 47%, that means we ain't even getting half. So what am I to do with John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. What are we to do with Acts 4:12, where we're told, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given whereby men must be saved. You see, we've got to believe that God will come through. And if He's going to come through, then He's got to honor His Word. And we've got to believe His Word. You see, if those are not true, if that's not true, then I ought to just take this book, tear it up, and let's go to the house. Bottom line. That's the bottom line. You see, one of the things about Christianity that people does not like is that the word exclusive. Exclusive. Exclusive means that it's limited or restricted. There's a narrow way to receive it. The idea of exclusivity, meaning the quality of being exclusive. That's something that's hated today, and it's taught to us. It's not politically correct, but yet it's practiced by the elites who think they're better than us. But yet they're pushing on us the idea that everything should be inclusive. Everybody should be come in. Well, praise God, I didn't write the Bible and I ain't God, but He tells me that there's a broad way and a narrow way. There's a wide road and a narrow path, and that we are one or the other. That's what He says, not me. And so today, as we think about the idea of salvation, and we think about let me ask you this. Would you think that there's more today that believe there's only one path than there was 2007, 2008, or less today in America? Yes, I mean, we got some common sense. So again, I ask, what are we to do with this knowledge? People talk about exclusiveness and that there can't be only one way. Can I tell you this? That the gospel of Jesus Christ is one of the most inclusive stories and truths that you will ever hear in your life. John 3:36. Whosoever believes in the Son has eternal life, and whosoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. 1 John 5:11. And this is a testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And then there's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes, amen, anybody today can gain eternal life. Gain eternal life. So if 65% of America believes that you can have eternal life, salvation, by multiple paths, and only 17% of Americans believe that, I got a piece of something caught my tooth there. Believe that Jesus is the only way. What does that mean? What are we to take away from that? Can I tell you this? Our instructions have not changed. What God has called us to do does not change. And His truth will stand when everything else falls. This is our instruction. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and following. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded, and behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of this age. Jesus did not call us to save 100% of people. He did not call us to make sure that all would gain eternal life. What He called us to do was to make sure the gospel is going forth and everything else is left up to Him. So today, are we spreading the gospel? Are we sharing? Do we even know the gospel? Do we even know the gospel? Listen, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe a lot of people in America today are ashamed to say that they're a Christian. Not because of anything other than peer pressure. Because of our country. Because of the spirit that's come over it, trying to make us feel like we're being exclusive. No, we're being obedient when we stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why ain't I ashamed of it, Paul? He says, because it is the power of God unto salvation. I might have said this before, but do you know what the word in the Greek for power there is? Dunamis. Dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. The word dunamis in the Greek, or the power that's talking about there, means miraculous. Power, might, and strength. In other words, held within the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there lies a supernatural power. And the truth of Christ is able not only to change an individual's life then and there, right where they're at, but it's able to change their eternal destination. It's able to change their home. It's able to change their family. It's able to do dynamite work. Dynamite work. Notice it says also there in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. Salvation means to be rescued from harm, to be removed from destruction or from a dire situation. Who wants to do that for you today other than Jesus? Who is calling and asking people to go to you and say, hey, there's something in your life, there's a danger in your life. A dire situation. And I want to rescue you from it. Who's doing that to you? Only Jesus. Only Jesus. And notice he says what? Everyone. Everyone who believes. It's the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone. To the Jew first and to the Greek. Now this was first century. So that was all there was at that time. You know, they didn't have all these different labels. You was either a Jew or a Greek, especially if you were a Jew. Praise God, the Bible teaches us this, that our God is able to save to the uttermost. It doesn't matter where you're at, it doesn't matter what you've done, it don't matter who your mom and daddy was. All that matters is what you think about Jesus. What you do with Jesus in your life. There's different ways, different times, different cultures. But it's the same curse, the same cure, and hallelujah, it's the same Jesus. Quickly, I want us to learn something about the gospel. Because we need to be reminded of this. I feel kind of foolish preaching a sermon about salvation when most people in here are saved. But how much are we convicted about others' salvation? First thing, if we want to be real and share the gospel and be unashamed about the gospel, we've got to know the why about the gospel. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Why is the gospel so important? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in who? Christ Jesus. I mean, we live in a time where there is no sin. We're living in a day where some of it might be icky to you and might be ugly to you, but that's their truth, that's their reality. Who are you to tell them that they're sinning? That's how they get us. Make us feel like bigots. Make us feel like we're antiquated and outdated and narrow-minded. But if we stand on the Word of God, the Bible says that all have sinned. Everybody, from Adam all the way till the last baby that's ever born, is born into sin. What is sin? To do wrong? To act or intend to act contrary to the will and the law of God. To break God's law and act in rebellion to Him. Folks, this goes all the way back to the first man and first woman. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. Now, some people are like, well, if God knew they were going to sin, why would he put the tree there? Let me tell you something. Love ain't love until it's tested. You understand what I'm saying? Love ain't love. Until old good-looking fella walks in front of Amy, and she chooses to stay with the old dog at the house, I know she loves me. I do. And I'll be honest with you, I think that one of the most ways we've made in God's image is that we have the ability to choose. Not we don't have total free will, but we have the ability to choose. And on that day, Adam and Eve chose to disobey God to fulfill their own flesh. And from then on, that curse, that fall, that sin nature has been passed on to everyone in the human race. I mean, think about it. There's been times in your life that you've known what God would have wanted, what the Bible says, what the Ten Commandments say, but you know what you wanted as well, and you willingly chose to do what you wanted instead of God. Everybody's done it. Everybody's done it. And because of that, we're separated from God. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have made separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He does not hear you. In other words, as humans, we broke that relationship. You remember He told Adam, He said, you're going to die. If you do it, you're going to die. Adam didn't die in that moment. He did spiritually. He did spiritually. That eternal breath of God snapped in that moment. But yet we see that death came. The Bible tells us this as we think about the why. Why? Because we're all sinners. Why? Because all of us are guilty. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We deserve punishment. When you break the authority's rules, what their standard is, you've disrespected them. And as the authority, they have the right and the duty to punish. You know what else? We can't save ourselves. We're talking about the wise of salvation. We can't save ourselves. Isaiah 64, 6. We have all become like the unclean, and our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. I want to think about the best thing you've ever done. Okay? Best thing you think you've ever done. That thing that's going to be, you know, like if you're in a bass tournament, and you know, you wait to the end, you know, and you got that big old lunker in the bag, and you wait on it, and then when you bring him out, everybody's like, oh, all that. Okay, on Judgment Day, for those of you that believe the scales, you know what I'm saying? Good and bad. What's going to be the lunker when you pull it out and you throw it on the scales of righteousness? What's it going to be? Now, think about the worst thing you've ever done. Now lay on the side of each other. Do you really think that the good you did is not tainted by that bad? Huh? You know how bad food in the refrigerator, sometimes it stinks and then it gets on to other stuff and it stinks too. And you just throw it all out. The book of James says if we've broken one, we've broken them all. And everything is tainted by our guilt, by our sin. Nothing we can do. But here, think about this. We're all sinners. Each of us are guilty. Each of us deserve punishment. We can't rescue ourselves. We can't save ourselves. But that's why Jesus came. That's why He came to rescue us. That's the whole thing. He came to remove sin out of the equation. He loves us that much. The Bible says over in Titus chapter 2, beginning of verse 13, that we are waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, listen, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify us for Himself, for His own possession, who are zealous for your good works. He came to make us His own. That's why the gospel is so amazing. That's the why to why we have to be spreading it no matter what the culture's telling us, no matter what our own fallen conscience and the thoughts try to tell us. We can't trust our feelings. We can't trust our thinking. We trust what He tells us. Number two, this is why we, the why according to the gospel. How about the where according to the gospel? The where? Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither, we've already read this one, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby men must be saved. Now, whereas the survey from 2007 said, at least 65% of those surveys said, there are four to five, at least four ways to get to heaven. There's at least four ways for you to have eternal life. Now, what I believe as God's word, God's instruction, He says that there's only one way, only one name, and that is the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is where all authority abides. Jesus is where all authority abides. Listen to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by Him all things were created, in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, other authorities, all were created through Him. Remember, He's the Word. And for Him. Meaning that He's the reason that they're there. He's got a purpose and a plan for it. He is before all things. In Him all things hold together. Verse 19, for in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. You remember the other name for the signs, I mean for the miracles? Man, I'm bad about giving my clues away. Doggone it. I want you to know so bad. You remember they called the miracles signs. And you remember what a sign does? Signs points to a truth. It's showing, it's trying to make something evident to you that may not be clear or that might be down the road somewhere. You reckon what the sign or the point was behind the sign when He stood up in the boat that day and the winds was a-raging and the waves was a-crashing and everything was just going willy-nilly and the boys were scared, they thought they was going to die, and all of a sudden He just says, peace! And the wind stops blowing. He says, be still! And the waves lay down in their place, just boom! Like that. You reckon what that was? That was authority. What He was showing, He said, I got authority over all of nature. I made it, it's for me, and it listens to me. You know what He said when He rose up from the grave? I got authority. Death, hell, sin, I've got more authority and power over you than you do over humanity. You see, Jesus is the only one that has faced sin and overcame it. Jesus is the only one that's faced death, my penalty, and overcame it. Only Jesus claimed victory over everything that's coming against me. And now He says my authority can be over your life. Isn't that awesome? That's amazing. That's amazing. All authority. Why the gospel of Jesus? Because in Jesus lies all authority. Number two. Or a B on y'all's. Jesus is where no condemnation is found. Jesus is where everybody in this world can find something against me. They can. Many do. But I, the one who has all authority, He says, Romans chapter 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what He says about me. That's what He says. I'm trying to get my children to understand this. You are under no obligation to care what another person says or thinks about you. Or what they think you ought to be doing. You know that? You aren't. You aren't. And we get so fed up and we get so frustrated by thinking we must please others. If we're pleasing Jesus, don't worry. What did He say? Hey, they hated me. Some's going to hate you. You ever feel hated? Guess what? That's a good thing. It's a good thing. I talked to one of our deacons about it the other day. Sometimes it makes me want to cry. But I can go to Jesus. And He says, you know what condemnation means? Penalty, suffering, hardships because of something I did, something I deserve. But Jesus says, I'm not going to put it on you. I'm not going to find no condemnation in you. Then not only is the gospel important, the where, because of where it tells us eternal life is, it's where authority lies in Jesus. It's where no condemnation lies in Jesus, but it's also where the eternal love of God abides in Jesus. It's where the eternal love of God is found, and that's in Jesus. Romans chapter 8, beginning verse 38, for I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come, powers, height, depth, anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Listen, that is in Christ Jesus. And I know the old saying, don't hate the sinner, hate the sin, right? But on the day of judgment, judgment is going to fall on the sinner unless they receive the Savior. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying be judgmental against anybody, but we've got to let the world know that while the love of Christ is upon them, that there's coming a day where that death will come into their life and that you'll be separated from the Creator and no longer will you experience the love of your Creator. If you want that love for all eternity, the gospel message says that you can have it and it's free, but it's only in Christ Jesus. And the last thing about the where is Jesus is where a new life is found. Jesus is where the new life is found. Now think about it. We've done talked about the why. We're all sinners. We can't save ourselves. We're guilty. Nothing we can do can change that. So we'd have to suffer. That's what that life, the life that we're living before Christ, that's the end result. Death, separation, eternal damnation. That's what it leads to. But 2 Chronicles chapter 7, or chapter 5, verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He's made new. He's given a new life. Old things are passed away. All things become new. You know what life I've been given? The life of Jesus. You see, he's never sinned. He's never done anything to deserve punishment, even though he suffered it. And he willingly took my sins on the cross so that he could give me his relationship with the Creator, with Father God. That new life. You remember the Bible says that it's the image of baptismal is when we come up out of the grave, watery grave, we come up as Jesus came up on the third day in a new glorified body. That's the life we live in. You see, a sermon on salvation about the why, about the where, and then lastly, let's look at the way real quickly. Let's look at the way. Listen here. Bible in the book of John says, I do not ask for these only. John 14:6. Let's look there. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. I want you to think about this. The gospel is very clear about how to be saved, isn't it? It's not foggy. It's not wavy. The Bible is very concise about what must I do to be saved. Think about it. When we read there in the book of Acts, chapter 14, I believe it was, when he said, he set him down. He began to talk to him. That's what we call systematic theology. He was able to say, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. There's a reasoning behind it. There's a plan, there's a purpose, and we want to show you that. Our God does not just throw it out randomly, but He wants to bring us to an expected end. Is what Jeremiah 29:11 says. So if you've got a goal, then you've got a plan to get to that goal. Amen? And that's what we need to let the world to know. The first thing is that if you want to gain eternal life, then the first thing is Romans chapter 10, verse 17. One must hear. You got to hear it. How many times did Jesus say, you have ears, but you hear not. You have eyes, but you don't see. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh, belief cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. That's why it's so important. You notice I've used a lot of Scripture today? Because it don't matter what I think. It don't matter what I say. It's the Word that does the change. It's the truth, the precept, the promise. We must hear. But how do we define hearing compared to the way God defines hearing? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, following, Jesus says to them, anybody who hears my word and does it, they're mine. Then he goes into the parable of the two souls. You remember? One builds a house upon the rock, the other builds their house upon the sand. And he says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a fool who built their house on the sand. Jesus defines hearing as audible recognition that leads to physical action. Right? He says you hear it and it causes you to live it. Many today hear it Say that it's accurate, but don't apply it. Now see again, that's not me saying that. That's the words of Christ Jesus. See, you've got to hear it according to His definition, not ours. And we see right now that we can manipulate words in our society and we don't like the way they change the definition. And it don't matter what they say it is, we know what it's right about, right? That's the way God is about His Word. Next thing is, not only must you hear it, you must believe it. You must believe it. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Because if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. Belief, again, that's the second aspect of hearing. You know what I mean? You move from just hearing to you believe it, and that calls you to act upon it. Third, you must repent. When's the last time you've heard a preacher preach on repentance? You must repent. Luke chapter 13, verse 3, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all perish. You know, Jesus preached repentance. That's what He preached. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, but from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist, what did he preach? Repentance. How about the apostles? Look over in Acts chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Repent. The word repent means to change direction. To change, you think in one way, you start thinking another. That's why we let Him do the thinking, because we still keep the flesh on us. You feel one way, you start feeling another. That's why we can't trust our emotion. We trust His emotion, because we're still fallen. You're going one way, you're acting one way. Repentance means to turn from that and to go to another. You must repent. Bottom line, have you repented? You say, I wasn't really that bad person. Ah, but you're self-centered. It was all about you. You feel good, my way, highway, all that mess. You know, I could go into it. Have you repented of putting self first instead of God? That's where it begins. And then, you must hear, you must believe, you must repent, and then you must confess. Well, I won't read it again. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. What does it mean to confess? It means to admit, to declare, to agree with, to emphatically assert. This is what's awesome. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and following. Everyone, therefore, who confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father. I will emphatically assert that they're mine to my Father. Not that he'll whisper. He's going to confess me. And can I tell you this today, if you're listening by the radio or Facebook, or if you're in here today and you're uncertain of your salvation, can I tell you this today, that the man who hung on the cross and rose on the third day, today, he is willing to confess you. He is willing to receive you. He is willing to emphatically assert that you're his and he's yours. Have you confessed him? And you know, confession goes further than just with the mouth. Confession is done in our lifestyle, in our living. 65% in 2007, 2008 said that there were multiple paths to heaven. Today I'd say that there's more like, I give it a good 70-30. 70-30. But here's the thing. Don't matter what they say. Don't matter that culture and society is trying to beat down many different truths in us that we know are lies. But it's us that God has called for such a time as this to declare the message, the gospel, the good news, where the dynamite power of a true and living God lies to those that will receive it. You see, we see the way of salvation. We're all sinners. We've rebelled against our Creator. We deserve the punishment. We can't do anything to rescue or save ourselves. But yet, at the same time, Jesus came to rescue us. Where does the salvation lie? All authority lies in Jesus. All love of God lies in Jesus. No condemnation lies in Jesus. And true belonging lies in Jesus. I didn't get to that one. That gives me another reason to preach this again. Let me ask you. Ask yourself this, heaven. Ask yourself this question. Who can go to heaven? Who can go to heaven? Whosoever. Whosoever, any and everybody. Do I know who they are? No. That's not for me to know. That's for God to know. But what he's told me is he's told me the way to heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ. And he's told me that I'm to declare that message, that gospel. That's my duty. It's my purpose. Here's another thing. Ask yourself this question. What are you depending on for eternal life? Works? Faith? Combination of both? I mean, I really believe this. Not even atheists plan on dying and going to hell. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's got a plan in their head on how they're going to miss hell. How they're going to make it into eternity, you know? But if it's wrong and we get there, there's no reboots. There's no chances again. Listen to what the Bible tells us over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow as our piano player and our song director come. The Lord is not slow concerning His promises, as some would count slowness, but is not willing that any should perish. He's patient. So that all would come, so that you may come to repentance, to salvation. You see, even today, God is withholding. I believe that Christ's rapture could happen at any time, but for this very moment, for this very second, right now, we know that He's holding it back. What's the purpose? For somebody to be saved. For somebody's eternity to be changed. Is that you? Is it you today? Is it you watching by Facebook? Is it you listening by the radio? Because see, that's the most important question. That what must I do to be saved? What do I need to do for eternal life? Now that's in all glory to the Father because of His Son Jesus. But today, there's a world around us. If today you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you die, you're going to meet Jesus. The angels are going to come, and I believe like they did with the poor man, I believe they'll usher us into the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with God. Don't you want that for somebody else? Don't you want somebody else to have that assurance, that know-so salvation? Maybe today you're listening or you're here and you just don't know. You don't know. Man, the Bible says, like we talked about last Sunday, these things have I written that you may know. You can know today that you have eternal life. Maybe today you've drifted far away. And you know, when you don't ride a bicycle for a while, you got confidence that I could probably do it again. But if you ain't been on one, you're a little bit shaky in your mind. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's time for you to get back on the bike. Maybe it's time for you to draw nigh unto Him, and He'll draw nigh unto you. Maybe you need to join Thomas Village, whatever your need might be. But I tell you what. Salvation is a wonderful thing. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. I don't know why He would offer it, to me especially. But you know what? He didn't tell me I had to know all that. I don't have to write an essay. I don't have to get up before and explain it to get into heaven. All He says is, I got to do is trust it to receive it. So if you've never trusted it, why not today? Let's stand in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your mercy, Your grace, and Your message. Holy Spirit, I just ask You to have Your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you come this morning? Do you know that you know? When's the last time you've prayed for somebody to be saved? The last time you've asked the Lord that He withdraw any influence other than the Holy Spirit, any truth other than the Word, and let it have it's free run in their minds, in their souls, in their hearts. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. That was His purpose after glorifying the Father, obedience to the Father. That should be ours. We should be burdened. How many of you today have a friend or a loved one that needs Jesus? Would you raise your hand right now? Call that name out in your mind right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray together with Thee. God, we ask You to tarry a few days longer. Lord, withhold Your wrath. Withhold what we deserve. And God, let Your Word and Your truth, let them hear the Word of God. Lord, we know that the Word must come. We also know that no man come unless You call. And that's why we're asking that You call and that You'll be saved, and that they'll be saved. Their lives will be changed and their eternity will be redirected for Your goodness and Your grace and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being attentive. Don't forget the meeting about the work day or the work project. Anything else? Word of testimony or praise? We will try to remind you let you know about the plans for Brother Danny, okay? We'll try to find out something. Anything else before we close? Brother John Franklin, would you close us out in a word of prayer? Thank you.